Let's get in the Word, shall we? Okay. Lonnie and I had a little talk this week. And he reminded me of something. And I believe it was absolutely from the Lord. Would you stand with me? You know why pastors ask you to stand? It's to get your mind off your comfort zone. This. It's so that you can adjust your thinking for a moment. It's to adjust your focus, because I want you to be focused here. All right? Not laid back, not sedentary, because we get real, almost sleepy. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to declare today that we hear from God. That God's got a word for us today. Now, when you do this, what happens is, this is how this works. Your heart hears it. And you begin to believe. Things change. All right? So will you say this with me? God has got a word for me today.
God has got a word for me today.
And I'm going to hear clearly.
And I'm going to hear clearly.
I receive it.
I receive it.
I accept it.
I accept it.
My heart is open.
My heart is open.
I will receive from God today.
I will receive from God today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're expecting. Praise God. Okay, now you, if you would, you can sit down. All right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate Lonnie. Lonnie is dear. He's really called to be a prophet in this church. And I want to tell you that I have a prophetic bent. And I'm careful about things. I'm careful about words. I'm talking from anybody, including me. Including Lonnie and I. But there are things that the Lord has been speaking and is going to continue to speak to the church and to this church that are coming, and it's regarding what's going on now and what's coming shortly in the future. They're real, okay? This is not pie in the sky stuff. Oh, well, maybe, you know, dot, dot, dot. No, this is real. God wants us prepared. He wants us strengthened in the Word. This is real. He wants us prepared in our hearts and our minds, and to understand the times. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, the religious Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he said, you can figure out the weather by what things look like, and yet you cannot discern the times around you right now. Your Messiah is here, and you don't get it because you can't discern it, because you're dull in your hearing, you're dull in your thinking, you're not perceiving. You're not listening to the Word of God. And that's what the Lord, for us, is saying. I want you to discern the time. I want you to hear my Word. I want you to understand what's going on here. This is not how it has been. These times are how it will be. Things have changed. And it has nothing to do with what the world calls the new normal. We are to spiritually discern the times. We are not ignorant of what's going on unless we choose to be. And you know, I'm telling you, in my heart and in this church, I won't let you be ignorant. If you come here, you're going to be prepared and you're not going to be ignorant. We're not going to focus on the evil and stuff. We're going to focus on God. But I'm telling you, I won't let you be ignorant. All right? If you're listening at all, because you have ears that hear. Because God, every week, and through the podcast, and through the classes, and during the week, God's got a word for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. This series is called Where Are We? And this has been about where we are as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, there are true disciples and there are conditional disciples. We know this. Conditional disciples are, I'll be a disciple of Jesus Christ based on my own terms. I will be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a student, literally in the Greek, of Jesus Christ, based on my own terms and what I want to do, the way I want to do, how I want to do, how I want to live or not live, or what I accept and what is the cost, or anything else. I'm going to be a disciple my way. And Jesus said, in that respect, you can't be my disciple. Now, he was very literal and very clear. You cannot be my disciple. You are not my disciple. That doesn't work this way. It is, if you're going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to be according to a real, honest to goodness. This is what the word says. It is not our life anymore. It is his. We live in him, and in him, we live through him. That is our identity. This is what this is about. This is kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are residents there first before the United States. We are disciples of Jesus Christ for a purpose, not just about us, not just about this church or any other church or the body on the whole, but in this world, we have a purpose that is far greater than what we are. It is a movement. It is to reach the world for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. That's what we're about.
Amen.
I want to tell you this, and this is not to be, I want you to understand clearly what I mean. 15 years ago, Rosie and I went to Bible school. It was great. It was awesome. It was life-changing. I mean, it was continued understanding of God's grace, faith, and his love, and the message of his grace. It was awesome. And then we went on staff. And we became staff. We became instructors in Bible college. Do you know what the most heartbreaking thing was? Being in Bible school, big Bible school, still growing. The most heartbreaking thing is, and I'm going to tell you that it's still going on because I still have contact. People go to Bible school and they get the word and they get pumped up with the knowledge of grace, faith, see the supernatural, see the miraculous, they see the reality, they understand the righteousness, they get the idea of their identity. But the heartbreaking thing is they never do anything. Nothing with what they've been given. That is the bulk. That is the higher end of Bible school. This is not to be condemning. This is a reality. This is the state of the church on the whole. This isn't just Bible school. It's not to be condemning. This is not to be, this is, you know, shame on you. No, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. This is a reality because people don't get the fact that we are disciples of Jesus Christ called to follow him and into action. It's the word. It's getting the word in us. And it's the action that comes from getting the word. Usually we get the word and we don't do anything. I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about people that are, are they really disciples of Jesus Christ or not? You're going to know by the fruit of somebody's life. And I don't get to judge that with somebody. But I'm telling you, on staff in a Bible college, the head of the graduate program, that was me, that was the saddest, most heartbreaking portion of being in Bible school, was seeing how few leave and do anything as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, again, I'm going to tell you that is the state of the church on the whole. So where are we? This is why this is so important. Where are we as disciples of Jesus Christ? Are we conditional or are we true? Are we really disciples of Jesus Christ or not? And that's the question that only you and the Lord can answer. But my heart is that this series changes hearts. Because the church has been asleep. The church has been dulled down, complacent. It's not just religion. It's just an attitude. That can't be anymore. We can't allow that in our lives anymore. These times, God is saying, wake up, church. Wake up. Come out of the stupor. Because God has placed a very precious call in our lives for every one of us as true disciples of Jesus to come out and do. Get the word, get grounded as a disciple, and do something with what you have. Okay? The title of the message today is called Blinded by the Light. Blinded by the Light. The political situation that's going on, has been going on for a long time now. The after effects of the corona lockdown has been huge damage, and it's not just the economy, but people's emotions and suicides, and it's like the screws have come out in a lot of areas. It is not healthy to be locked away from people, isolated, even by mask. George Floyd's murder, the defunding call for the police. I guess I understand there was another murder. The destruction of property. Protest, which is our legal right, protests. Riots backed by Antifa. Socialism and the huge push for the socialist agenda, communism, the continual propaganda through the media, through the five big corporate media giants telling us what we will think, what we will consider, what we will think on, what will incense us, what will make us feel good. What we will focus on based on what they want. This is the climate today. This is the last days. Hezekiah was a king in Israel. He was a good king. He was a godly king. He was a righteous king. But Israel, man, they had a handful of good kings and they had a pile of bad kings. Evil. Idol worshiping. And when I get into, someday I'll share, Baal worship was prevalent then and Baal worship is prevalent now. It's prevalent. And when you understand what it is, it'll sicken you. Israel kept going back and forth into Baal worship and all kinds of awful idol worship. And they said, God, I don't want you. I want this because this looks better. Well, Hezekiah decided to follow the Lord. I mean, he just really wanted to follow the Lord. And God turned Israel around. And the destruction of Israel, or the consequences of the huge amount of rejection of God. I mean, when you reject God, you just say, I want the consequences more. You open a door to the devil, and the devil says, I'm happy to oblige you. And that's what happened with Israel. Hezekiah pushed back that judgment on Israel by his really following the Lord with his whole heart. Now, I believe that we can push back the reality of the return of Jesus Christ, the imminent return of Jesus Christ, if we will wake up as a church and do what God has called us to do, what Jesus has called us to do, as disciples. We can push that back like Hezekiah did Because the reality of the judgment of the world is coming. Will it happen in our lifetime? Or are we going to be able to push it back if we get up and get moving? If we get up and get moving, I believe we're going to push it back. Otherwise, I absolutely flat believe it's coming in our lifetime. Period. Never thought it would. But it is. Okay? So this is up to us. Are we frustrated about everything going on? Are we just sitting and getting frustrated? Are we getting angry and anxious? You know, we've covered some of this over the last couple of weeks. It's because we don't have control. And we can't fix it. We cannot. The only thing that we can fix in the situations going on around us right now is us. The only thing that we can control is our own lives. That's it. The only one that can fix the situations is God. Based on how we're walking as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's us. It comes back to, are we going to do anything? There's so much to speak about this. I'm going to continue this on next week and finish it up. I received pastors communicate with each other when you're in an area, and I received from the pastors in the area a notice that there's a get-together, hopefully of all churches, and this is what they're asking for. Come together and we're going to plead with God. First of all, we're going to have a picnic and fasting. I don't know how that works. I really don't. But we're going to have a picnic and we're going to have fasting. And I'm not part of this particular group. But they're going to plead with God for his mercy and his justice and racial reconciliation. Okay. I'm not going into the doctrine of this, but what I want to tell you is almost every church that I know is focused on racial reconciliation. That is one symptom of the whole issue. That's all this is. I'm not demeaning it. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. But it's one symptom of the root problem. Let me read to you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, this is key, this is crux to what's going on and the need for right now. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry or the service of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins, their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, and that doesn't mean to us, just them then, to all of us as disciples of Jesus, the word of reconciliation to the world. Now, what is reconciliation? Literally, reconciliation is the restoration of a relationship with God that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned for all humanity. It is the word of reconciliation to God of the whole world that wants it. You see, racial reconciliation is one issue. There's a lot of areas that need reconciliation in this world, in this planet. There's a lot of horrible things that go on. But it's the human reconciliation to God that is the root issue and the greatest need. Because out of the human reconciliation to God that we need. Everything else will come. Everything. And we're focusing on the wrong thing. All these churches, the same churches that were, and never mind. A lot of churches went for the government stimulus. We did not. If the kingdom can't support the kingdom, we're in the wrong business, right? All the same churches are focusing right down to only racial reconciliation to the exclusion of everything else. The need for human reconciliation and that word of reconciliation to God has got to be first and foremost in us.
Yes.
It's got to be. Because what's going on in the murders and the rioting and all these things that are happening in the United States. The United States was set aside as a light to the world. We've blown it. We really have. We have ejected God from our country. The consequences are happening, and these are last days consequences. These are real, again. This is what we have brought on ourselves. Just like Israel did. The word of reconciliation through us to the world is first and foremost. It's got to be, and we've got to understand our identity in Jesus Christ and who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is true and it's real. And we've got to get it in our heart that we really are or we're not. And we've got to begin to do and live and speak this word of reconciliation, because ain't nothing going to change. And the return of Jesus will be a lot sooner. This is on us. And this is a reality. We've been given hugely through the grace of God. Hugely. But we lose sight. This is what happens. We lose sight. We come to church. And we go, yeah, it's great. You know, I feel good. And then I go out and I live my life. And we kind of separate who we are from, a lot of times, even under grace, what we're doing in the world, or what we're doing in life, or what we're doing at home. Whether we're single or married, it doesn't matter. We've got to see we are spiritual people, not fleshly. We are spiritual people first. We are citizens of the kingdom. That's who we are. First, are we looking at everything through the filter of the word that's going on around us, or are we looking at everything through the filter of the world? We're either looking at it through the word, or we're looking at it through the world. If you're digesting through what the world is saying and what the world is doing, stop, please. Because the only one that's going to be heard is you.
Amen.
1 John 5, verse 19. Remember this. We know that we are of God. That's we who are disciples of Jesus Christ. We who have a new identity. We who have been born again. We who have been given the grace of God. That's what we know. And the whole world lies under the sway, the influence in the Greek. Influence is a big deal of the wicked one. The whole world is under the influence of the devil. If you cannot see the Antichrist spirit or the satanic spirit that is pushing these end days on, if you cannot see this, please come talk to me. It is imperative that we understand the reality and the discerning of these times. So, go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 12 through 15. Remembering that the whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one. Paul is speaking about false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Now, this isn't just to the church. There are false workers and false messiahs out there proclaiming false gospels. And even the media is a proclaimer, a false apostle of a lot of untruth. You got to look at this. You got to get the big picture, okay? This isn't just to the church. This is to the church and outside the church. And no wonder, verse 14, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers or his servants also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Boy, that's a big deal. So what the enemy is doing and what we're seeing played out and will be played out to a greater degree is the smoke screen. All this bad is good. And all that's good through Jesus Christ is bad. The church that stands biblically is bad. The church that stands and molds and modifies according to the culture, like there's a group called Faithful America. Horrible. They're messed up. They're lost. They're clerics who allow the culture to determine what's right and wrong. Those are conditional disciples. Those are not disciples of Jesus Christ. Those are ministers of unrighteousness. They're lost. They're deceived. Okay? They're blinded by the light of a demonic spirit. Now, it is important that we are not. These smoke screens that the enemy is continuing to bring are continuous. And if you have any wavering, if you're not committed and you don't understand, if you aren't really getting the word into you, can you be deceived? Yeah, real possibly. Yes. As much as it is up to me and the Holy Spirit, I sure won't let that happen. What does Satan lie about? He's got the same M.O. He's got the same M.O. that he used in the garden. Nothing has changed. Here it is. Number one, you will be like God. You will be like your own God, knowing good and evil. You will be your own God. Or God's holding back from you. He's not good. He's not giving to you what he promised. He's holding back. Number three, he attacks the nature and the character and the love and the goodness and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. Number four, he states that there is no consequence. There is no penalty for sin. There is no death and there is no need for a savior. Number five, there is no hell. There is no judgment for non-acceptance of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for us. That's what was spoken to Eve. That's how you study this out. That's what was spoken to Eve and Adam and Eve in the garden. And that is the root of every lie that has come forth from this point on, or from that point on. What happens is the devil, the world is under the sway or the influence of the devil. The devil engages our soulish part, our emotions, our feelings, through circumstances, through world events, through personal events. He engages people's souls and minds to reach the heart where we believe in order to get us to embrace the lie as truth. That's where the blindness happens. And there is a tremendous pressure all around us to conform to the world. Tremendous. It's huge. The onslaught, and I'm only using the media because it's so obvious. The media is, there's five corporations that run the almost 100% of the media. Again, that tell us what to think. If you are on the media a lot, they tell you what to think. It's always the same with all of them. What to think, how to think, what to believe, what not to believe, what the direction is, what's important, what's not important, what you focus on, what you don't focus on. That is how the enemy engages. That's one way how he engages our souls and our minds to reach our hearts, to embrace the lies. You ever wonder why people believe a lot of this nonsense? This is how this works. A lot of these lies that we know are deceptive. This is how this works, is to get our heart or people's hearts to believe it this way. This is how he engages. Go to Luke chapter 11. I know we're flipping a lot today. Go to Luke chapter 11. This is still a part of his MO. We need to understand why all this stuff is happening. Why people are so blinded to the obvious, or what we can see as obvious. Why? Because the devil has influence over the whole world. He degrades who God is in reality to people. The same way he did with Eve. And he engages with distraction and camouflage the soul and the mind to reach the heart to embrace the lie in order to blind. Jesus was casting out devils and freely setting people free from all kinds of things. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious, legalistic leaders of the Jews, accused him of working with the devil. They were so blind. And Jesus went through and explained about how a kingdom divided against a kingdom can't stand. And basically what he's saying is, you don't get it who I am. You're not seeing this. If the devil's going to fight against the devil, his kingdom can't stand. And so if I'm casting out the devil, his kingdom can't make it. That shows that I'm not working for him or working with him. Don't you get it? I'm setting people free. This is God's kingdom. This is his intent. This is the reality. I want you to open your eyes and see. And so in verse 21, Luke 11, verse 21, Jesus explains it. He says, when a strong man, now, please understand, this is an illustration. When he says, when a strong man, somebody is strong because we give them power. Somebody is strong in our lives because we give them authority. Somebody is strong because we've given them what we have, because we think we should. We've been convinced we should, or we suppose we should. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Okay. A strong man, fully armed. Armed with what? Armed with deception. Armed with lies. In order to blind from the truth. It says, a strong man, fully armed with these lies, guards his own palace. Keeps his palace, another gospel says his house. That's us individually, our lives, our minds. When he guards it with these lies and is permitted to do so because we've embraced them, look at the world around us, his goods are in peace. Things don't change. And in that area, in that arena, in that life, he is the strong man. But when a stronger comes, stronger than he, and overcomes him, he, and use big he in this, he takes from him all his armor, all of his lies, and exposes them in which he trusted. He breaks them up. He removes them. He brings in the truth. He brings God's light into this, God's power, God's ability into this life. And he divides his spoils, and what he says is he returns, and I'm not going to go into this because I'm almost out of time. He gives this back. He restores this back because this was the intention to that person. People are blind. Does this happen to believers? Yeah. Does it happen all around the world? Yeah, of course it does. We see it. People are blinded by what they've embraced and been encouraged to embrace and given themselves over to a strong man. They've embraced this in their heart and they believe it. And you think, how can you be so dumb? I've got people I know who are so, they're not born again. I wish I could go into detail. They're not born again. They don't know the Lord. They don't want to know the Lord. It's all the world. And have bought into all the world says and all the influence and are so hardened to the truth and so blinded by that false light. The strong man has an anchor, a deep anchor in there. It's not impossible to get through. But the stronger wants to get in and set them free. We have areas in our own lives, possibly, where the strong man has existed. It doesn't have to be that way. Where we believe the lies and the deception and embraced some things, been distracted by the camouflage and the smoke screen of the enemy, of the Antichrist spirit. Well, it's time to let the stronger in, take from him his armor and break this thing up and allow the light of the truth to deliver us from the blindness that we've been in. I'm talking about as a church and as individuals. John, 1 John 3, verse 8, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. It's up to us what we embrace now, all of us. John 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not stay in darkness. This is the stronger. The deception is terrible. It's awful. It's all over the place. You've got to understand that this is why this is happening. It is the end days. It has been planned. It's playing out. We're seeing it. We as disciples of Jesus can push back the return of Jesus and extend his kingdom. This is the only way things are going to change. Yeah, we can all vote in November. Great. Do you have any idea what's going to happen one way or the other? Not one of us, unless you've got some prophetic insight that I don't have right now. Not one. We're still going to vote. We're going to vote righteously and for righteousness as much as possible. But I'm telling you, the reality is we're in another kingdom. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we've got a job to do. And that is to reach others with the truth. And help others let the stronger come in. to break up the lies and the blindness and the deception so they can get free and come to know him and receive the kingdom. God has given, these are part of the greater works, and this isn't just going out and witnessing. This is a demonstration of Jesus Christ to the world. In truth and in reality and how we live, how we pray for others, the approach that we have in not being self-centered, but in sharing of the riches that we've been given. This is not permanent. This world, this country is not permanent. It is not going to exist forever. Period. Hezekiah was one, going back to him, the Lord said all his judgments coming on Israel. He said, but because you've been a righteous king, this is 2 Kings 20, because you've been a righteous king, a godly king, it won't be in your time. And Hezekiah said, whew, I'm glad that's not happening in my time. It'll happen to my kids. I thought, oh, what a terrible attitude. It's okay as long as it doesn't happen in my lifetime. And I think that a lot of Christians or disciples of Jesus Christ think, this is okay, the return of the Lord is okay, and the last days is okay, as long as it doesn't happen in my lifetime. Well, get over it, because it's happening in our lifetime. I have much more to share with you on these things. I want you to be prepared. Things are going to get good again. It's going to happen for a short time. Stocks are going to go up. Man, money's coming in. Jobs are going to increase. And more crashes are coming.
Amen.
Please, 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 let's get prepared together and let's prepare to do and to live and to be the disciples of Jesus Christ he called us to be. I believe this church is meant to be, again, a training center, and that's where we've been going from day one. And I'm seeing the Lord put together more and more and expand this. But it is for your equipping. It is for you and for all of us that come to actually do the greater works Jesus said we would do in John chapter 14. Because all of the supernatural, with the equipping of the power of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the reality of our identity, the understanding that we are disciples and it means action in Jesus Christ. The knowledge that this is temporary. Who gives a rip what somebody else thinks? I only care what he thinks. And it's taking the grace of God out beyond the four or six walls into this world, where the strong man has so many who are trapped and blinded by that light. Okay? Would you stand with me? Jesus said to his disciples in John 17:17, this is how you know how to discern what's going on in you and around you. When Jesus prayed for his disciples to the Father, he said, sanctify them. Set them apart from the world. Pull them over here, okay? So that they know that this is not, there's not a connection here. And there's a reason for this. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the absolute truth. And we have to keep this in mind. We must get serious about our identity and our committed discipleship. We must be. We've got to do this now. We've got to get familiar with God's grace to us and grow up. We've got to get the word in our mind and in our heart engrafted for real so that we don't get distracted and pulled in by the strong man and the onslaught and get to embrace the things of this world and what the world is pushing and what this Antichrist spirit is pushing. We've got to get familiar with the Holy Spirit and His gifts and the power of God. And we need to reach out with a genuine reconciliation to humanity all around us. Those are the things that we need to do. That's the how to put this in place. Okay? I want to lead us in a prayer. You don't feel like praying this? Don't pray it. You feel like praying this? Pray it with me. Close your eyes, please. I'm going to ask you. And get focused for a minute on Him. I'm going to say this, and you can repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, with all my heart, I commit to be a true disciple of yours. I don't know everything this means, but I am committed to being your student for the rest of my life and to being active in what you've given me to do. I am committed from this moment on, in Jesus' name. And Lord, from my heart, I'm sorry for not taking more seriously who you are and what you've given me to do. I'm sorry for not taking your word more seriously in my life. From now on, help me to get serious about you, about your word, about what you have for me, about what you want me to do. From now on, in Jesus' name, I have great expectation that you will finish the work you started in me in these last days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything miraculous, the supernatural, breakthroughs, understanding, wisdom, answers to, how about those enigmatic questions? Those things that just mystify you. See these two? You didn't know you're loaded, but you are. They answer your questions. They're going to point you to the Word, but they're going to pray for you. You're going to see direction. You're going to see results. You can expect it. Amen?
Amen.
So in Jesus' name, you're blessed.
Yes.
You're going to have an awesome week.
Yes.
And you're dismissed. And we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week.
Praise God.